But when I get home, I will check and I will send you a PM.
Okay. If not, we can do something else. What else have we done?
Hey, everybody. This is C. Michael McGannon of the Hollow World series and the Monster Guys podcast. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Take a fall. If I was someone else, I'd say hi, but I stall. If I could just be cool like Han Solo, if I could misbehave like Captain Mao, if I could just be half as smooth as Lando, I could get a grip on life somehow. Life would simply rule if I could be Han Solo cool. A manager thinks that I'm nuts. I finally work up the guts to ask you out. I step outside, he follows me, we see. But my parking meter's out of time. I left all of my change inside. He's got a date, I have a ticket. By the time I've got a dime, this doesn't seem too cool at all. I'm hurting sick and by his call, I'd kick his ass and quit my job if I had balls. If I could just be cool like Han Solo, if I could misbehave like Captain Mao, if I could just be half as smooth as Lando, I could get a grip on life somehow. If I could kick some alien ass like Ripley, if I could make you laugh like Doctor Who, if I could follow treasure maps like Gandhi, they would always lead me back to you. Life would simply rule if I could be Han Solo.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be Jacob. Looking at the episode. What up? What up? This episode, we are going to look at Mikey Mason's album, Barbarian Jetpack. It was produced in 2012. So this is an older one. This is one I picked up just because I liked the songs at it. We actually met Mikey at AFW, which is Anime Festival Wichita in Wichita, Kansas. He was there as a special guest. Had fun talking with him and enjoying some of his live sessions. And he has a new one out called Tentacle. Let me get this right. Tentacle. So that's his latest album. This one, though, he's puts himself as a comedian rock star, which basically gives you a sense. And you heard Han Solo Cool coming in, and that also gives you a sense of what his music is about. I kind of call him the pop cultural singer that has fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a parody, I don't think.
Ah.
He's just having fun with pop culture.
Right.
Yeah. It's more of a, it's almost as if one of us could sing and write songs, stuff we'd write about. Right. And I can't sing or write songs, so maybe if April gets her her musical career taken off.
Possibly.
The one thing that I liked about Mikey when we met up is that he could come up with a song on the spot in one of his sessions. Wasn't the word I was looking for, but close we'll go enough. With session.
It's close enough. Don't worry.
Panel?
Yeah, session. Panel. There we go.
One of the same.
One or the other. But anyway, in one of his panels, he performed a song that he had just written that day, which was kind of cool.
And when we hit, Pokemon Go hit. And the song was a Pokemon Go song. So he was basically writing that to get ready for another album. So he was already writing those. And it was pretty decent. Is that the one you were thinking
of? Yeah, that was the one I was going.
So that was pretty cool to hear that one off the spot. These songs, we'll just go through the list and talk about them. The list will give you an idea of what the songs are about. We have 8-Bit Love Song. Earworm. Mm. You'd have to hear it to kind of know what it's about. Goonies, Never Say Die. Of course, what we came in on, Han Solo Cool. Someday, which is not quite as explanatory as what it could be. Best Game Ever, Steampunk Enough, Beer Power Time Machine, Scooby Thulu, and Please Bring Firefly Back for Christmas. And we'll talk a little bit about each. The first one we came in on was Han Solo Cool, and this is what made me buy this album. I'm a Star Wars fan. And then the very last song on it just made it that much more, because I'm a Firefly fan as well. So that made it. And then I saw Scooby. I was like, oh, okay. Then Goonies hit. And plus, listening to him at AFW, hearing some of the other songs.
Mm-hmm. Some of his other songs were.
He did Best Game Ever in one of his sessions, which we'll spotlight towards the middle of the episode. So we had some of mine that I really liked in there. And this is the Han Solo Cool one is. I like it just because of the lyrics. It's kind of an up-tempo beat. It has the reference that Han shot first. And I was like, yes.
He did shoot first.
I know. And then, as you know, he has a crappy day. His boss is a jerk, and he just wants all that good stuff. But then he has some lyrics about Ripley kicking alien ass, the Doctor Who laughing, and the Gandalf with his map. So that all of that just tied together to just be a cool song. Just to start off with 8-Bit Love Song, to me that had an 80s rock band, hair band feel to it, like Bon Jovi or something like that.
Yeah.
And once you get into it, I liked it.
Right.
But the very first, and I know it's the game sounds, that just kind of, that sounds is like, then when we get into it, it's great. Yeah, I just loved it.
I mean, the lyrics, and when, you know, the beginning of it, I was just kind of like,
Well, if you're a gamer, you love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that shows you how much of a gamer I am.
Oh, I remember it, but I just didn't get to play games that much, so it more of pisses me off, because I didn't, that's one of the things in pop culture that I'm not into that much, because my parents didn't let me
play
games.
Mm-hmm. And I'm exactly the same way. Like, I'm not big into games. Like, I can sit down and play Pokemon in a day or so, but that's about the only game that I actually play. So, I mean, it's I'm not a big gamer, and then I've had several exes who are big gamers, and I'm just like,
yeah, but If you know the 8-bit characters, which are coming back into popularity.
Right.
But I think, was that kind of like the opening to Mario Brothers or something like that? One of those video games?
Maybe. I didn't specifically recognize it.
But yeah. It's, and Mikey is pretty much around my age, so he's got a lot of 80s references.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
70s. So this is where a lot of his influences are coming from. And most gamers will recognize that. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but most everybody, even if they don't know where it's from, they know the music automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just, it's one of those that just gets under my crawl, because it's like, I never got to play these games. I watch Logan now, and games just frustrate me, and I throw the controller around. And just
I'm the same way.
Earworm is another one that has an 80s feel to me. It's a weird.
It's a little
song.
Weird. It's different.
I don't know if it's a reference to the Star Trek episode where the ears, the worms went to the ears.
You know, it could
or
be.
Something else. I don't know.
It could be. Sure.
I'd have to listen to the lyrics again, but I think it was more of a, this is one of those songs that gets stuck in your ear and or stuck in your head and it's.
Can't get it out.
Yeah, that's one of the
that's a good point,
earworm.
Too.
Okay. Goonies Never Say Die.
They don't.
Oh, love this one. And this one kind of had a punkish feel to it.
Yeah, it did.
With all the speed and everything, and the one-eyed Willie. Oh, yeah. And all, yes. So this was one that, when I was growing up, how old was I? I wasn't as young as the kids in the movie was. I was probably in about 15, 16.
So you're about Josh Brolin's age.
Is that all?
I know. These were portrayed as probably around 11, 12, 13-ish. I think with the Goonies ages.
That's what the younger kids were, but Josh Brolin's in that movie is the older brother.
Older brother.
I'm sure he's got to be 15, 16.
But I was nerdy enough that I was like, oh, this would just be a cool if this could happen. You know, finding that ship in the middle of everything and finding the gold and meeting One-Eyed Willie and who was the guy that liked Superman? He was part of the kidnappers family.
It's me.
Remember?
I've never seen the movie.
I mean, yes, I can see the resemblance.
I was going to say, it's not you.
And so, I can go with that.
What was his name? I can't think of it now.
Stall for 15
seconds. Stall for 15 seconds.
We've done that. We did that earlier, actually.
We did the shuffle, the truffle shuffle. That was part of the deal with the movie. I mean, it was just
Chunk.
One of
the fun fact about Chunk is that he is actually he's a lawyer now. I think he's a lawyer in Hollywood that represents actors.
Really?
Yeah. And he actually embraces the whole Goonies truffle shuffle thing, unlike some of the people who don't. And the character's name is Sloth. Is it Sloth?
Okay.
Sloth sounds right.
It's been a while. It's a Sloth, okay. It's been a while since I've actually seen the movie, but I've seen it I don't know how many times. It's up there close to about the same amount of times I've seen the original Star Wars.
Jonathan, this is what Sloth looks like. So, yes. There's definitely the resemblance.
No. Whatever.
I've seen it at least twice.
You might have his t-shirt.
No.
Did you see his t-shirt?
I saw his t-shirt.
With the suspenders and the pirate hat?
Yeah. You didn't see this? You don't have a t-shirt like that?
No, I don't. I really
don't.
You
have a Superman t-shirt?
I have Superman t-shirts, okay. But I don't have one like that.
Okay, so... but to continue on with some of the stuff before we get to the midpoint, Someday is one where it's just... You were picked on as a kid. You were, that's in school. That still happens today. I'm sad to say some of it has... more dire consequences today than it did in the past.
But I liked,
like coming back to kick your ass.
Yeah, I like that part. It's just like, but someday I'm going to come after you.
Or own him. Not own necessarily him. To come back and kick him in the back. But it's one of those type of songs where it's like, okay, in the long run, I'm going to win out, not you.
Right. And that's what I liked about it.
And I was one of those kids that I was half in the cool crowd, half out. I straddled that line enough because I played sports but wasn't good enough to start. So I was with the nerd crowd because I liked talking about the comics and all that stuff, sci-fi. So I had friends in both, so I was able to straddle that line. And
you weren't
for the
like
most
me,
part,
the only one in the corner.
Not quite, but there were times. There was times I did have to defend some friends because I did see that aspect. I've had... some of my friends that are no longer with us, and that's a different story. I have no recollection of this, but they were being picked on the playground in the sand pit, and they said I just came up behind the kid and grabbed him and started shoving his head in the sand.
Wow.
I don't remember that, Justin. Craig, I do not. And they both swore up and down I did that at recess. And this was elementary. So I was like, okay.
I can see that. It's easy.
You can see that, okay.
No, I'm talking about, look at us, me and April. We can do that stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Recess could be fun because you're avoiding dinosaur legs as you run around.
We had our Star Wars toys out most of the time playing in Tatooine.
That makes sense.
But no, they're both not with us any longer, but that was... one of those in the 80s where everything was going with the HIV, they contracted it through a blood plasma transfusion. So they're both no longer with us, but they were fun while they were here. So it was fun with them and seeing all the movies with them. So that was cool. But that was one memory I just could not remember. So, okay, I'll trust you. We both corroborated it. So, but I think we'll take a quick break here. Do best game ever to be a lead in with this. Do we want to do a lead in and just let them have fun with it? And we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, just listen.
Just listen. Okay. Yeah. We'll do a just listen.
Served it. He kept doing really dumb shit when we He's put his magic items up. I swear to God, he almost cried. And when he came back in the game with his new gnome thief mage assassin, we took all his gear again and sold him as a slave. Best game ever. Was the best game ever. I took his set of plus four leather. Then we hopped on board the flop train, let it take us for a ride. But then George came back, and this time he was a druid who refused to leave the forest but always tried to start a fight. And that's exactly what he did with this poor farmer on the outskirts of the town, who turned out to be a god in disguise. Best game ever. Cause George's druid's head got severed. Then he came back in the game while we were going through this cave to slay a dragon. But carried a sword of magic flame. And when we'd reached the dragon's lair, he argued tactics for an hour till we fed him to the dragon. Then we killed it in 3 rounds. Best game ever.
This one just has so much fun and so much relevance to me. It's pitiful. If we have any D&D people out there, they know immediately what this is talking about. Even if you're not, you just have a passing fancy with it, you know about it. Dungeons & Dragons, the original version. Because, again, like I said, Mikey's from my generation. We didn't have the computers or stuff like that, or the little figures. We were basically out, not at recess, because that's in middle school when this came out. But at
lunch,
yeah, that was what it was, lunch. When we were waiting to go back to class after lunch, we, a group of about 6 of us, would get together, and I would watch most of the times. I did play a couple of times, but mostly watched, because they really got into it. They had the maps. They would take their Spyro notebooks, and they would have all these pages taped together of maps, and they'd have a cloud region, they'd have a forest region, they'd have plains region, you know, desert, and depending on where they're at in that world, that's, you know, where the dungeon master sent them, that's where they were at. So anybody that has D&D, even in this modern age, kind of has a semblance of what the song's talking about. But if you get one of those players that's just an asshole, you want to just say, we want to kill them. Best game ever if we can kill him, and just at we least, kill him, not the creature per se.
At least one of the names for him is that guy.
That guy, yeah.
Or that one guy.
Yeah.
But this is one. April, she started playing this before she went off to college with some of her friends. The actual version with the DM and everything, the dice, all that, the maps. The maps now, I think what they were using were actually produced maps, but it was still... Mm-hmm. The actual, you create your character, and it's in your mind more than a board game or little miniature figure game. Mm-hmm. So, to me, best game ever. That it just hilarious to me, because this was done all the time. You had somebody playing, you wanted to kill, and like this song referenced with the dragon,
mm-hmm.
we'll just feed them to it, and then they beat them. It's like, yes.
Over at AFW, I actually witnessed a D&D game going down. And like you said, it does get pretty intense. I was just sitting in there playing a different game, and I hear all this shouting, no, you didn't do this right, or no, you didn't do that right. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, that can even happen with the card games now.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. Like, And I was watching them play their card games too, and they were like, "No, you didn't do this right. Oh no, you didn't summon that right. No, this when is I not was, how this happened."
When I was in the game area, it was much calmer than you're just saying.
I mean, I was in the game area.
Jonathan just likes to stir them up. That's
no,
all it is.
No, it was not me.
Must have been.
But like, I was. I think I was in the game area more times than either you.
I was
or
there
your
basically
dad.
Once.
Is it yeah, good when with your Superman shirt and your suspenders, and you were like, "Hey, you guys!
Oh, beautiful!"
Was that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, did he have the Superman shirt that time? Because I know
one
he had.
Don't.
One of the days he did. I'm
don't.
Sure.
I know he had the Superman hey, shirt at the Superman Logan, convention, but I'm not sure if he had the Superman shirt this time.
Feel the fire.
I'm just asking if you had.
Don't
the Superman
feel
shirt.
The fire.
Jonathan's a good sport. I think he had fun at AFW though.
Yeah,
we
I did.
All did. Well, like I said, we're going to have to do a on the road portion of that. So, at some point, yeah, we had fun. But yeah, this is one. Yeah, I just loved it. That's all I can say. Just loved it. It had Jonathan mentioned something earlier about this song that I didn't catch until he mentioned it. Then it's like, oh, of course. You want to mention what you heard at the end of high school? You get a certificate.
Oh, the diploma. Okay. At the beginning of the song, they had the graduation theme song, and I thought that was kind of cool.
We only talked about this 5 minutes ago. And he forgot about it.
I think I threw him off with my sloth impression.
It might have. But yeah, it had the march. I'm not sure what it's called either, but yeah, I didn't realize that until you
graduation
about it.
Theme song, but no, it was. I thought it was good, and I heard it. I don't know if you guys heard it, but they had a little bit of Magic Card references too before they did the D&D, because they said they brought the Magic Cards, and I was happy, and then they started a D&D or something. I don't know, but there
I'd
was.
Have to listen to it again.
I think there was a reference to the Magic cards, which I thought Logan would have enjoyed. Mm-hmm.
It could have been in there because magic is kind of derivative of D&D. And this one, of course, had a kind of a folk ballad feel, rock ballad feel. So,
yeah, and it was just hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was.
Even as me, who's never played D&D and probably won't ever play D&D.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, yes. It's hilarious.
Unless you can bring in a Jedi Knight.
Look, that's all I want, okay?
You probably can. There's versions of D&D. And,
no, I want I want a lightsaber.
Area of game.
I want an A-Wing.
Have you read Darth's and Droids? There's probably a version... Somewhere. Pretty much exactly like that.
Perfect.
And it's not just called homebrew.
And when we run into a dragon, I just want to force choke it. I don't see how this is such a difficult thing to get.
It's not.
But no one ever wants to get. I'm like, can I be a Jedi? No. Well, then I don't want to play. Take my stuff and go home.
Take your dice and go home.
You see, one of my exes has always tried to get me to play this, and I'm just like, no, I'm not interested.
Why not?
And yeah,
you can have fun with it, but there are guys that really dig deep into it.
And that's the way my ex was. And I'm just like, no, you get way too involved, and I don't want to get that involved. I'll watch you, but I won't do it.
There's some people that lose themselves into it, like any type of habit. But to continue on, we had Steampunk Enough. It was more of a pop rock 80s feel to its music. Basically, a guy trying to get a girl that's into steampunk. So he's trying to make himself look steampunkish as well, and she's not having it.
And then he gets to the point where he can be the one not having it.
Yeah.
Is steampunk the stuff with all the gears? And I don't get that
technology. It's a full-fledged genre now, steampunk.
I'm wonderful. Sure it has been.
What's that?
I'm pretty sure it has been.
Well, it's a fairly recent one, though. It hasn't been around too long. Probably about 15 years now.
Hmm.
There's probably been older versions, but popular and becoming a steampunk trend. Yeah, it really came in probably about 10 to 15 years ago, and it's pretty big now. It's a mix of Victorian age dress with steam technology and all the gears and the airships. Mm-hmm.
I've seen them. I don't get it. But, I mean, hey. That's okay.
They have fun with it. And this one's a pretty fun song, I think. Yeah. Anybody that's into the steampunk arena, they'll dig it. Bear Power Time Machine.
Here we go.
I love the opening of this with the Doctor Who
It's the TARDIS.
The TARDIS sound, yeah.
And then
talking like, you know,
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
So it was just great. To be honest, this was one that, you know, he wishes, I guess it's a guy that drinks a lot that wishes he can go back in time and not drink as much. I don't know.
Why would he do that?
I don't know.
Just go back in time. Why? I mean.
But this one had a little bit of a grunge feel to me. But the vocals were still clear
they
enough.
They were so clear.
So it was a mix, because usually with grunge, you get the distorted vocals, too. It was like, okay, let's eat through this microphone instead of singing. But, of course, Seattle, the home place for grunge music, so... And there is some grunge bands that I do enjoy. Yeah. They're just having fun, guys. Don't write me. If you do, I'll take the heat. The next one, Scooby Thulu.
Oh, my God.
This is Jonathan's favorite.
No. One of my favorites, actually. It's darker than Tokyo Ghoul. It's so much darker than Tokyo Ghoul.
Of course, he's referencing the podcast we did for Tokyo Ghoul. For anybody that doesn't know, we did do a podcast on that you can go look back in the feed, depending on which one comes out first. I don't know.
It happens.
It's a mystery. Go see.
We just kind of throw stuff at a dartboard, and that's what comes out first. That's what I've kind of gathered.
Jump in the mystery machine and see what you can uncover.
Right. As long as it's not a creepy clown. Oh, wait. It's just going to be a man in a mask. Never mind.
Nope. But, this time. Well, kinda.
Yeah.
He was wearing a mask or hood.
Drew and Scooby's,
thing.
Scooby Doo's always wearing a mask.
And Velma wears a mask in this one, too.
Those pesky kids, is that what they always say?
Those meddling kids. You meddling kids.
Yeah. In the song, Velma actually wears a mask.
But this is one, if you're a Scooby Doo enthusiast, you might.
Not like
it quite as much, but if you're a Cthulhu fan, you might say, yeah, this is pretty much it. Mixing genres, of course. And it's basically a villain that's in prison that they've captured, finds a book about the ancient ones and calls forth Cthulhu and sicks them on the Scooby Gang. So, and all the different things. And I might make a reference that nobody might know about. Possibly they might. Meatloaf.
Isn't he a singer?
Yeah, he's a singer.
Yeah, he was in
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
There it is.
Yep, he was the biker in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, okay.
This song really feels like a Meatloaf song to me. It's very drawn out at the beginning and dramatic. And Meatloaf has a lot of songs like that. Then it just dives into a heavy metal sound.
Yeah,
and just goes after it, and that's the way this song is. And it probably goes about 30 seconds in before it hits hard and heavy. And oh god, this guy has a hate on for the Scooby Gang.
He does. But I think the one part that I laughed the hardest at was that pothead and his scaredy cat dog. Because it's true.
Drew the talking dog. Shaggy and Scooby. And I think they have the tentacle reference with Daphne.
Yeah, they say that the tentacle... No, it wasn't disappears. A tentacle. It was a pitchfork that went through her that summoned Cthulhu.
No.
Daphne disappeared, like always.
Yeah.
And then she came back with tentacle marks. Groping tentacle marks all over her legs.
And then she and Fred have a baby.
No,
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu and Daphne. Fred's stupid enough to think it's his.
Yeah.
Remember?
So you can see this is kind of a dark Scooby adventure.
And just weird.
Velma has to stick a pitchfork into Daphne, then skin her while she's barely alive. And
that's how they summon Cthulhu.
No. That's to bring...
that's what they said.
Cthulhu's been summoned since the beginning of the song.
He brought him out of the book.
Yeah.
I remember them saying that they managed
with Davy Jones' help to stop Yog-Sothoth.
That's how Daphne gets the tentacle marks.
Waking up.
Because I remember them saying specifically that they used
already there, dude.
The pitchfork.
So he was already there.
Because how else would you get typical marks? Stopped.
Well, there's this little thing in Japan.
We're not into the hentai. We're still in America.
And
do you know
what the pitchfork was just killing Daphne because
she's an octopus thingy.
Right, that's the tentacle version, and he impregnates Daphne.
Yeah.
And Fred thinks it's
and
his.
And possesses his. And possesses her, which is why Velma stabs her with a pitchfork. And later, Davy Jones finds a book on how to revive people.
But the monkeys,
Velma skins her alive and summons her.
It's a dark one.
Wow, I was not paying attention for this song at all.
We should listen to it after we finish this.
But then, like I said, one of the last song out of the 10 in this album is Please Bring Firefly Back for Christmas.
Take it away.
It would be a nice gesture, Fox. Yes, you bums.
Maybe not Fox. Maybe it needs to go to a different network.
Hulu, Netflix, somewhere. Amazon. Somewhere. Somebody that's reviving old series. Nathan Fillion doesn't have a job. He needs work.
Yes. But this is one that when it starts out, you're like, oh my God. But then when you get into the chorus, you're like, oh yeah, I can get into this. It's almost brings a tear to your eye.
Kool-Aid Man. Oh yeah.
But this is one that's very fun, and we'll be leaving out on that song as well. So this is one, like I said, Han Solo got me into it. Firefly cemented it. All the others were like, okay, yeah, this album definitely was the one I wanted to pick up. Mikey also has several other albums. He has 7 in total right now. Comedy Rock Star. This one is entitled Barbarian Jetpack. Dangerous Gifts, Impotent Nerd Rage, Dodecahedron, Red Letters, and like I said, his latest one is Tentacow. They're all available on his website at MikeyMason.com. That is MikeyMason.com. There are $10 a piece. You can get digital or you can actually get a physical copy as a CD, which is kind of nice this day and age, especially if you're a collector like everybody is in the con scenes. Most people like your physical copies so you can look at them on the shelf.
Yeah.
You can also find Mikey on Facebook under Comedy Rockstar Mikey Mason. That is his page that you can like him there. This is one that if you just love sci-fi, you like game, if you like a lot of the pop culture stuff, you're going to love this album. You're going to love his other albums as well. One of the things I will comment on, Logan and Jonathan can either corroborate or say nay. I would like for him to do an album that is just acoustical and in front of an audience like how he was
in
the session at AFW.
Yes.
Because he'll explain some of the songs and the lyrics. Hilarious.
Yes.
It is hilarious.
I 100%, 150% agree with you.
How do you know one of his albums isn't already like that?
It might be. I don't know. I'm just taking a wild stab in the dark. But if he might already have an album like that, that's true, Logan.
Some of the YouTube videos he has is somewhat like that.
Are they okay?
Yeah, he has a video version of the Scooby Sulu one.
Okay. So not sure if you can enjoy that one, everybody. But this is one, when he was at the conference, and you can't get the same atmosphere if he tries to do it in a studio. It needs to be recording equipment set up in a conference room where he's interacting with the audience. Because like I said, he's just hilarious. And being acoustical, it's still great. And sometimes it's even funner because you can just you get the background a little bit more and some of the jokes that he rattles off, and it's just hilarious. Yeah. And I think he sometimes goes around when he does perform live, he does do the stick as well, because he is a comedian, not just a singer. He's a comedian as well. So he just blended both his passions and created Mikey Mason's music, which is just fun. It's not a parody.
And he's now got a Pokemon Go song out. Right, probably will be soon enough.
Probably on his next album, he said he was going to be working on that. But they're not parodies. Again, we mentioned that at the first one. I mentioned it again. They're not parodies by any means.
No.
They're just having fun with the pop culture genre. Mm-hmm. For personal collections, like I said, if anybody likes pop culture, they're going to love these. For libraries itself, the smaller ones, I'm going to say unless you just have an audience for it, it probably won't fit. Medium ones, you're still going to have to see if you have an audience, but you get a little bit more. Large ones, you have enough diversity. You will have to probably show the album and let people listen to this to say, this is fun stuff. It's not, it is poking fun, but not in a mean-spirited way, per se. Just having fun in general.
Right.
And it is 80s influenced in the music and style, so that as well. And he's just having fun. And if you get a chance to see him live, I recommend you go see him live because it's pretty hilarious with his stand up with it as well. So he's mm-hmm. he's a good guy. We appreciate the time that he took to visit with us at the con at AFW. Hopefully we can get him on here and talk to us a little bit more about his singing and his upcoming album, because like we said, he was working on a Pokemon Go song. But I recommend this one. I don't know about, I guess I'd let you guys say your spiel. Do you recommend this one? Or
yes, I do.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, give it a listen. Might as well. I thought about being the detractor in the group, but that would be a lie.
It's just having fun.
Yeah, he is. Just having fun. Which is good.
If you're interested in getting in touch with us, you can do so at email@admin@comicpoplibrary.com. We have a Facebook and Twitter account as well under Comic Pop Library. You can send us messages that way, and we'll read them here on the recordings. Some of the ones we've gotten this last time for some of the music groups we've been doing, one of them was Oblio. We've done some of their songs for them. They've have a shout out to Comic Pop Library for featuring Days. Thanks for the love. And they also mentioned, they retweeted us and mentioned us, you know, our music video was featured on Comic Pop. See what they have to say. And they say Comic Pop rocks. So again, we appreciate Oblio sending us their music and letting us look at it and put it on the website for everybody to hear. We enjoyed that. Also, Monk Tammany, who we actually reviewed their EP probably a couple episodes ago. And they sent us some stuff. Says, thanks for the honest words, Comic Pop Library. And hey, there's nothing wrong with a little Southern rock. We love it. So you'd have to listen to our review of their music to get that reference. But we appreciate Monk Tammany coming back. And they also say thanks for taking the time to with the EP.
I remember who they are now.
Wow. Okay, you guys, that's Jonathan.
Everyone's bad.
He's the one that looks like Sloth.
Yes.
Everyone's bad with names. Everyone.
True, that is true. We just love to give whoever's turn it is. You guys give me grief enough. We got to give. Everybody has their turn here. But we appreciate Monk Tammany and Oblio getting back with us, and we appreciate them sending us their music our way as well. Also mentioned, Jonathan has a Jonathan Room on YouTube and Facebook. If you want to look him up there, be sure to do that and like his page. Lynn has also a book published now, Zombie Waltz Volume 1. You can find it on Amazon, either a hard copy or a digital copy for the Kindle. On his Facebook page, you can get in touch with him. If you desire an autographed copy, he'll work with you and get that sent to you. Other than that, Jacob's been working with Nerd Barrage here lately. I think he's going to be having some stuff, hopefully, for us to look at pretty soon. We're still working in the working stages, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So we're looking forward to that. And we're hoping to have Matt and hopefully Jen from Nerd Barrage on at a future date to kind of spotlight them for an episode and talk with them, see what they're doing. On one of our posts that we had on the webpage, it featured one of Jen's skits called on Pokemon Go. Can't remember what it's exactly called, but she was trying to choose a team.
Yeah.
To go with. So yeah. That was a fun video. Enjoyed it. So I wanted to post that up there. It was a lot of fun. That's going to pretty much do it for us this time. We've been having fun talking about Mikey Mason and the Barbarian Jetpack. Remember to look him up at MikeyMason.com or on his Facebook page. We've been having fun. Hopefully you've been having fun listening. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
See ya.
stockings are all hung, the fields are white with snow, the trimmings on the presents and the tree. The kids all snug in beds, dreams of swag all in their heads. It's time to pop a beer and watch TV. Christmas movies, Christmas shows, very special episodes, filled with Santa bringing joy and giving gifts. And that's when the sadness hits, Santa, if you're hearing this, there's just one thing that's on my list. Please bring Firefly back for Christmas. It's the time for miracles, I hear. I'd be laughing, ho ho ho, if I could watch new episodes of my favorite Gorham series at my favorite time of year. Santa, reach inside your sack, won't you give the blue sky back to all the little brown coat girls and boys.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.